Well, good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of the one who is the reason for the season. I did enjoy the service thus far. That verse on the bulletin stood out to me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm not sure if that verse was already quoted or not, but it's good to be here. It's a good time to consider the birth, if you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's a good season to do that. I'm thankful that we have a time we set aside to do that. Did want to say thank you, Mont, for those devotional thoughts. I really enjoyed that that time there. Those challenges of watching what we say can have a real impact on people, and we can probably all think of. I can't at least of things that happened, things that were said when I was little, and wow, it had an impact on me, and for one way or the other, and you can remember that for years, maybe the rest of your life. Let's be mindful of, the words we say and, how they can have an effect on people. Well, thinking of Christmas Day tomorrow, I thought it would be fitting this morning to read the gospel story of Jesus' birth. And I intend to do that and focus on that. And I believe the last time I brought a message of this nature, I think maybe it was 2 years ago, I read from the account that Luke gives. So this morning I'd like to read from Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. You can turn to Matthew chapter 1. Both are very interesting stories, familiar stories, I'm sure, to us. Both have very different details. Details that we would otherwise not have if either Matthew or Luke would have not recorded. I do intend to do some reading here. Believe I would like to read starting at chapter 1, verse 1, and then all the way, with an exception, all the way to the end of chapter 2, with the exception of the big list of names that we have there in the genealogies. We're gonna skip over that. I'm afraid I would have trouble with some of those names. But while we read, there's many different things we can focus on, right, in the story. And as usual, when I have to bring a message, you have to decide which aspect or what part you're going to focus on. And the part I would like to focus on this morning is the prophecies that we find. The prophecies fulfilled. Okay? My Bible, good chance yours does too, has a star at each one of these verses that is a prophecy fulfilled. And in most of those stars are, you can go back to the Old Testament and find a verse directly quoted. I say most because I believe there is one. There's one I have listed that it does not have a star at. It seems to be more of an indirect prophecy fulfilled, perhaps. So look out for those as we read. You'll find phrases like, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet," and so on. That indicates prophecy being fulfilled. Let's start reading here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I believe we'll jump over that list of names. Oh, let's see. Why don't we pick up at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Sometime, if one of you wants to help me unpack what's all in that verse, I would enjoy it. I think that those three sets of 14 are significant. I believe that those numbers aren't just random in the Bible. They are there for a reason. But anyway, it's kind of a bunny trail there. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and just a note here, we know the rest of the story from Luke, how that Joseph and Mary were both from Nazareth, but because of the decree of Caesar, right, they had to be taxed. They were required to go to Bethlehem, so this finds them in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. In Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. All right, the good old familiar story. And as I said, I'd like to pick out some prophecies that we find fulfilled in this story, in the scripture that we read. For a title this morning, I've simply worded it this way, Prophecies Fulfilled at Jesus' Birth. And I have seven that I picked out of this reading here this morning. Perhaps there's others more indirect that you see. I'm sure there is others, other fulfilled prophecies here. There's seven that I have picked out. And the first one that I see is in chapter 1, the first verse that we read there. There's a reason I read that first verse. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ fulfilled, there's two promises here. There's two fulfillments here in that one verse. There was a promise made to first Abraham, and there was a promise made to David. And maybe you would say it was one and the same promise. In a sense, it was. David was a descendant of Abraham, of course, of whom God had made the original promise to. But you know, in a way, it was two very separate promises, two different people, two different men who had a heart to follow what God wanted. And I have them listed separately here. The promise to Abraham. What was that promise? And we're going to refer back to the Old Testament verses here for most of these, if not all. And you can just keep a marker here at Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Some of them I will just refer to, and we won't necessarily turn to. But the promise to Abraham, if we go back to Genesis 12, there's a familiar verse there that our minds probably go to. And it is verse 1 of Genesis 12. It says, or the first few verses, I'll just read these. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise that God made to Abraham. It's the first time we have that promise to Abraham. Before he even left his home country, I believe. And we just looked at some of these in our studies, our Sunday school studies of Abraham. Well, did Abraham really realize what all that promise really contained? I'm sure he didn't. And we have that promise reaffirmed with Abraham at least twice, I believe, and maybe more times. And I think the one time was the verse or verses that we had for our adult lesson this morning, the memory verse. It was that, and we just looked at this, once again, we just looked at this recently. When God came to judge those two wicked cities, and it seems like God was walking with Abraham and they were talking about this. And I don't know that the Lord necessarily said this to Abraham, but we have record that he at least the thoughts are there. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So once again, we have the promise coming up. And then here, again, after he passed that test, was it just last Sunday we looked at that, of offering Isaac his son, in Genesis 22, verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And, you know, those promises probably seemed nigh impossible to Abraham at the time, but through Jesus, that has become a reality, that all nations have been blessed through him. We also have the promise, and I'm not sure if we have, I did not look if we have it given to Isaac, but we have it given to Abraham, and I have here a verse, there's a promise given to Jacob, I guess be Abraham's grandson, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, when he was giving the blessings to his son, to his sons, in Genesis 49, I believe it was the end of his life. At verse 10, he says to his son Judah, through which we know Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And my research of that word Shiloh, it pretty much means the same as Messiah, as I would have it, and directly referring to Jesus coming through through Judah. All right, so we have the promise to Abraham. What was the promise made to David? And I'm going to turn to this one. It's in 1 Chronicles 17. You can turn there if you care to. First Chronicles 17, I believe we have a parallel passage to this in 2 Kings. But I'd like to read it here. Let's read a couple verses here. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 11. "And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom." I believe this is God talking to David through the prophet. "He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house, and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." My Bible has a star at those verses. Believe that is prophecy that David's throne would be established forever through Jesus Christ. All right, another one I have. It's just a verse in Isaiah chapter 11. It's verse 1. I believe it would be after the time of David, but it was still prophetic of Christ, and it says this, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." This prophecy of Isaiah saying that Christ would be born, would be of David's descendants. It uses the word branch there, capital letter. And I think maybe we'll look at that a little bit later here. That word branch was another word for the Messiah. So we see Jesus' birth fulfilled, number one, the promise made to Abraham, and number two, promise made to David. And maybe it's a bit of a side note, but you know, I don't think those promises really have an expiration. God says forever. And it's interesting, if you look at that, we still see references to that. In the book of Revelation, there's references to these. There's one verse I wrote down, it's Revelation 5, verse 5. We have one that he talks of, and I believe he's speaking of Jesus here. And the description is, he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. It's all one in the same verse. And if you think about that description, it really reflects on both of these promises, the one to Abraham and the one made to David. All right, for a third one here, Matthew, flip back to Matthew chapter 1 there. There in verses 22 and 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And we find the prophecy here, we find in Isaiah. We find that in Isaiah 7. I'll turn and read a couple verses there. Isaiah 7, well, maybe we'll just start reading here at verse 10. It's a couple verses that kind of give the background here. Isaiah 7, 10, Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here we have very clearly the virgin birth prophesied, and also that one of the names he would be called would be Emmanuel, or God with us. Now, I don't have all the details of this, what's happening here in Isaiah, clear in my mind. But clearly we have this king Ahaz, he was a wicked king, he was one of the bad kings. He wasn't following God, and I think, if I understand it right, there was other kings coming against him and so on. And God was talking to him here through the prophet Isaiah. And tells him to ask a sign. And I'm not sure what all that was, what all is behind that. But he obstinately refused. He said, No, I won't ask a sign. I'm not gonna tempt the Lord like that. And God essentially says, Well, I'm gonna give you a sign anyway. And we have the sign given. We have the virgin birth of Emmanuel prophesied for years afterward. Now, I thought it was kind of interesting, and maybe it's just a side note, but I believe it's the same, if I did my research right, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we have the same king, the same wicked king that Isaiah gave that message to, we have listed here in the genealogy in Matthew 1. Those verses that we skipped over, I believe we have his name there. In verse 9, I believe, it's spelled A-C-H-A-S. I believe that's Ahaz there in those verses. Not all the ones listed were necessarily godly people. But I thought that was kind of an interesting note, that man that refused the sign, here we have him in the lineage here before Christ. Well, God gave the prophecy through Isaiah years before that Jesus would be born of a virgin and his name would be called Emmanuel. The next one here I have, chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Jump down to verse 5 and 6. What we're pulling out of here is that the prophecy was that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And we have Herod demanding there in verse 4 of where Christ would be born. And we have the answer there in reading from verse 5, and they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And we find that prophecy given in Micah. The prophet Micah gave that that prophecy there. I believe he is the only one. Micah 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Clear prophecy that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And you know, some of the things the chief priests and scribes didn't understand, but this one they did. This one they got right, that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And that prophecy of the prophet Micah was fulfilled. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He just didn't stay there very long, did he? All right, another one, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." And we find this prophetic verse in Hosea. I'll just refer to this one as well. Hosea 11, verse 1. It says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." And I believe this verse is, I believe it could be talking about past and future. Referring to, yes, obviously, Jesus being brought out of Egypt as a baby here, but also talking of Israel being brought out as a nation years before in the past. So I believe it could be talking past and future both together. All right, another one. Verse 17 here, 17 and 18. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." And, of course, we have Jeremy the prophet mentioned there, which is Jeremiah, of course, and we find that in Jeremiah 31, 15. It says, "Thus saith the Lord," it pretty much word for word, "a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." Pretty much word for word is how it's written here. And so we have this barbaric, heartless act that carried out by a wicked King Herod, and prophesied about for hundreds of years, written about hundreds of years before. All right, the final one I have pulled out of here. Is the last verse here in chapter 2. Verse 23 says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And this is the one that's maybe, you would say, it's a little more indirect, because if you look at it, if you look at the Old Testament and research, it doesn't seem like there's an Old Testament verse that spells this out word for word, that says he shall be called a Nazarene. If you notice here, though, it has the word prophets. It's a plural form. And it seems to indicate the fact that that the thing that more than one of them wrote about or understood. Okay? And there's different views. There's a few different views on what this phrase actually means, or where it comes from, or how people understand it. One thought that some people have is that the Aramaic word for Nazareth is about identical to the Hebrew word for branch. And did I already mention the description, the branch? That was a common term for the Messiah. I think I have a couple of references here, or two anyway. Did I read that one in Isaiah 11:1? There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's specifically talking about the Messiah coming, and the word a branch is used. And there's another one. There's quite a few of them, actually, if you look. Another one is Zechariah 3, verse 8. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. So that's one thought, that the writer here is using that word, branch, and calling him a Nazarene from that. Another thought is that the word Nazarene is simply in reference to a person who is despised and rejected. And if you know your Bible, you know that the town of Nazareth had a negative reputation. If you remember the time, I believe it was Philip, went to Nathanael and he said, "Hey, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael was right away like, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And we see the disdain in his voice. And I think Philip said, "Well, come and see." And another one of those, it's in John 7. We have the chief priests and scribes. They're debating about Jesus and who he is, if he's a good man or and so on or not. And we have Nicodemus, who met with Jesus, speaking up and putting a good word in, could we say, for Jesus, putting a word in Jesus' defense. And it was quickly thrown back at him. They said, "Well, are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And well, Galilee was the area that Nazareth was from, of course. And so, to call someone a Nazarene, you know, you're essentially calling them just, well, a nobody or something like that, you know. And we have Jesus described as despised and rejected and so on in the Old Testament prophecies, such as Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men. Very familiar verse to us. Psalm 22, "I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." It's clearly talking about Jesus there. And so that's another thought on this phrase, "He shall be called a Nazarene." If you have any thoughts on that, what all that means there, you can share them with me sometime. There's also the possibility of it referring to the Old Testament Nazarite, you know, as they were the person that was set apart for God, right? It seems like the scholars kind of agree that's not a very likely case, though. Whatever the case, the Bible says it, and that settles it as truth for me. And for sure, whatever the case, Jesus was definitely from Nazareth and became known as that, despite being born in the city of David there in Bethlehem, because we have Jesus referred to as Jesus of Nazareth many times through the Gospels. And even early Christians, I found, were known that way. We have a verse in Acts 24, they're talking about the Christians, and they're referred to as the sect of the Nazarenes. They were referred to as from Nazareth. Well, maybe in closing here, here's some Old Testament prophecies that I picked out that were fulfilled directly at Jesus' birth. And there was many more, you know, fulfilled through Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry on earth. And God's Word is just amazing. It should inspire us, seriously. Things written down by men of God, His direction. You know, hundreds of years before they happened, hundreds of years before Christ was born, you know, they were just fulfilled in detail, just as they were prophesied. You know, even though there's many people that were just totally unaware, totally oblivious of them being fulfilled at the time. I think it's just amazing. And you know, to some who just casually read the word, you know, they might just pass it off as another book with a bunch of stories that sometimes don't really seem all that significant or make that much sense. But when you read it and understand that this book is about Jesus, and the further you dig, the more evidence you find of it being not just another book, but inspired by God. And there's so many details woven into each book, written by authors that lived years apart, never knew each other, and they all fit together just perfectly, you know, without flaw, you know, even though people have claimed to find flaws and skeptics have tried to pick apart. It all fits together perfectly. And you have to conclude that there's just no way any human could compile such a book. Even with advanced software, just there's no way. And you know, really, seeing how God's word has been fulfilled in Jesus' time, on up through, up till now, you know, I think it should really inspire us about future prophecies as well. You know, there's a lot of prophecy that is still, there's a lot of scripture that's still future. If I remember right, I believe there is more scripture verses in regards to the rapture and Jesus' second coming than there were scripture verses leading up to the first time Christ came. I think I'm correct on that. Well, I believe looking at how prophecies were fulfilled, I think we should be inspired in at least two ways as we think about that. I think we should want to know what God's word says about the future and what's coming. I believe many people today were just like at Jesus' birth, there was lots of people that just totally missed it, didn't see the significance. And I believe many people today, the same, will miss the significance of events that will happen right before our eyes, just because they aren't aware. And, you know, I think it's just spiritual laziness if we just don't want to know, if we just don't care, don't want to read God's word with intent to learn what's there for us. And yeah, how deep is my love for God if I don't want to apply myself, if I don't want to learn what He has in His word for me. And I really believe that God has things hidden, deeply hidden, for those who will search, who will dig for them. And God works with those who apply themselves. No, I don't think, I know I don't understand it all. I don't think we can understand everything of future prophecy necessarily. But do we want to know? Do we desire to understand what we can? I believe that's the important thing. Secondly, the second thing I believe we should be inspired about is that seeing how these prophecies were fulfilled, it should just confirm in our minds, should confirm in my mind, you know, that what I read in regards to prophecy, whether it's fulfilled yet or not, it's going to happen just as God said. It will be fulfilled. God means what He says. All these prophecies of the Old Testament in regards to Christ's birth, they were fulfilled to the letter, and so it will be. We can have confidence that whatever God says in regards to the future will be the same. Well, God bless you this season as we remember. Think about the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.